impacted me. And it was this woman who, after much thought or whatever you want to call it, she decided, she was in the different ministries and stuff, but she was like a kind of a hyperactive person, I think, and she was here, there, and everywhere, and never really taking time to pray because she was always so busy. And I guess the Lord just kind of knocked her upside the head one day and said, hey, you know, you need to start praying. And because really, if you're going to be a good, strong Christian, I believe it is a sin to not pray, you know. It's just a sin. And so that's the conclusion that she came to. And what she did was she devoted 1 hour every day to the Lord. And in that hour, she would journal, she would write poetry, she would sing worship, she would journal, she would do whatever. And this book is about all of her answered prayers. And I got to this one part. She worked for a while at the Crystal Cathedral, and I guess they lived back east, and this position came open, and they had to sell their house in one day. And so she prayed, and she sold her house in one day. And that just knocked my socks off. I could not believe that. And I just thought to myself, you know, I want what that woman has. I want to do this. But I knew that I could not devote an hour every day because that was just too overwhelming for me. I was still working a little bit and had kids in the house and stuff. And so that weekend, you know, I really thought long and hard about what I wanted to do. And I'm a walker, and I like to pray out in nature. And I was walking La Mirada Park at the time. And so I just, and it was like on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And so I decided that on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, after I did my walking, I was going to find a kind of a semi-private place down there, and I would take my 30 minutes and I would pray. And that's what I did, and I did that for years. And then, and I had my list. I kind of went through what she instructed. And she said, you know, you make a list and you date it the day you start praying for the person, and then you the date it's answered. So that's kind of how I did it. I had my list, and then we had it was like a woman's luncheon or something, and Lisa had invited. Was she a pastor's wife? The late other lady who did the journal. Well, let's say she was a pastor's wife, and she did this journal, And I was like, oh, wow, you know. But she, the way she had hers broken down was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So she prayed every single day for X amount of time. And you know, that was still overwhelming for me. Plus, she did a lot of journaling. Now, I'm not really crazy about journaling. I don't really like to write a lot of stuff. You know, I don't think I ever kept a diary as a kid. But I remember going to Lisa and saying, when Lisa decided that we all needed to have a prayer journal, I remember going to Lisa and saying, well, I like it the way I'm doing it. I don't want to be writing all that stuff down. No, Gail, you know, we have to do it this way. And so I said, okay, well, whatever. So I started my prayer journal. And my prayer journal is different than the other lady's prayer journal, simply because I pray every day, of course, but I don't take an allotted amount of time every day because I don't have the time. So the way I broke my prayer journal up is into, first I have my little section called my prayer chain. And that's when somebody comes up to you and says, oh, so-and-so has cancer, and would you please pray for them? And so I put that in my prayer chain. And I have praying for this little grandma that I know up in the mountains, and I'm praying for my daughter-in-law's mother. And I really don't date these because they're usually answered pretty quickly, to tell you the truth. And so what I do is I put a check mark, And I have a lot of check marks here, which you'll get to see, because I will let you look, but don't read too much of the stuff in there because I don't want to get in any trouble. So, and then my second little, what is this thing called? A what? Oh, this little section. This little second section is called my hardcore section. Now, we all have hardcore people in our family that we want saved, and they just don't want to have any part of it. And their lives are miserable, and their lives are crumbling, and you can see what's happening, and you just know that if they could just start praying, their lives would turn around, you know? And so these are called my hardcore people. I have three of my sons under here, and I had my daughter-in-law, Lisa, who was a hardcore. And I am just so thrilled to say that 2 years ago she was baptized. But I will tell you, ladies, it took me 7 years of praying for her. And what I do is I'm a real visual person. So I like to put their pictures, and then I put like little scripture verses, you know, for under my son Danny, I put and if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I put that under, and I've kind of done that for each member of my family, kind of given them a little scripture verse that pertains to them. And then for my daughter-in-law, Lisa, what I did was for her, I put, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, excuse me, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And I had a reason for putting that particular scripture verse. And and also what I did was I found this Christmas card, and it's got two houses, and then it's got another little house. And what I did was I cut it out, and I drew in there a road from my daughter-in-law's house to the church. And when I would pray, I would, because I am visual, I would look at that picture, and I could feel, you know, like the Spirit moving down the road. It's the strangest thing. And like I said, I prayed for her for 7 years, and 2 years ago she was baptized, and we were all there, and it was just absolutely wonderful. And then I have these are under the hardcore. This is my other son, Jerry, my other son, David and Dina. And then I have my grandchildren. And under my grandchildren, I have dated. I started praying this April 2000. I pray, Lord, that one of my grandsons becomes the pastor of a Christian church. And who knows? You know, I'm praying that all the time. And I've had a lot of prayers answered, and praise God if I get that one answered. Boy, that would be a kicker. That would turn my family upside down. And then I have, you know, my other grandchildren, Cody, Vicky, Dusty. Then I have my husband. And then I have me, because I pray sometimes for myself. Selfish person that I am. And then I kind of have a section that's marked off as general. And I don't have anybody. And general is that's for people who are like friends. And I have two of my real close girlfriends under general. And then I have a section for ministries. And that would be Tony and Richard's church, Esther and Armando's, Julie and Danny. I pray for we lived up in Crestline for 2 years, and I pray for, and it's a very tiny church. And if anybody knows anything about the mountains, it is very transient, and it's hard to have a consistent body all the time, because there's a lot of transient people up and down. So I pray for my little church called New Wine, up at Crestline. I'm praying for the thrift shop, the possible thrift shop. Then I have a section called, what is this? Oh, I have a section for Brian and Lisa. I have a section for Pastor Bill, my pastor up in the mountains. And then I have a section called Devotions. And I really love this section because I have a little, what do you call it? A devotional. I have a little devotional called Experiencing God. And I've gone through it three times now. And every time I go through it, it usually takes me about a year to go through it. And every time I go through it, I swear to you, there will always be something new pertaining to whatever is going on in my life at that time. It is absolutely supernatural as far as I'm concerned. And what I do, because it is a devotional, you know, instead of, you know, flipping through and finding what I want, what I do is I just take the book. And I Xerox the page that I want to reread over and over. And I usually go to wherever you can shrink stuff, Kinko's or something. And I shrink it down and I put that in my under my section called Devotionals. And little things that, like something that if you're reading a Christian book, something that jumps out at you, like we were reading When You're Loving God with All Your Mind, Heart, and Soul. And the thing that jumped out at me was being renewed in the spirit of your mind begins by challenging negative thoughts with positive input. Well, I really like that because I have a tendency to be a real negative person, you know. And so I wrote that in there. And then I also wrote Jeremiah, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray, and I will listen to you. And the part that I like is, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And that's just real important to me because I have Parkinson's disease. And praise God, I'm just in the very early stages, and you know, hopefully it'll stay that way. But I like to read that when I'm doing my worshiping. I like to read that particular verse, and also these little devotional pages here, and just this past Bible study. What was that past Bible study we did? The last one. Chuck Swindoll's Bible study. Oh, okay. I was reading through the Bible study, and there was this prayer in there, and I was so taken by the prayer that I cut it out of the book, and I now have it in my prayer journal, and you know, all Xeroxed and shrunk, and I had the opportunity to give this prayer to a friend of mine who's having a lot of trouble with a daughter, and she prays that prayer every day, and God is healing that relationship, you know, and that's really awesome. And then that's my devotional. I have God is looking for intercessors, the agony of prayer, much beloved. I just have a lot of stuff in here. And then I have, I don't know where I got this from. My New Year's resolution this year was no fear. I told my son I want no fear bumper stickers, and I want a no fear hat, and I want a no fear shirt, because I'm not going to fear anything. And so under my devotional, I wrote, I will be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. I will not be afraid, neither will I be dismayed, for the Lord my God is with me wherever I go. He never rejects me, but has promised to be with me always. And that's Joshua 1:9 and Matthew 2:20. And during my prayer times, I will read that, you know, and it does encourage me because I know that the Lord is with me. And then I have other things here. I wrote, it says, and I've had the opportunity to experience this. God, I can't remember where I got it from, but it says, God ought to be able to send hurting persons to any child of his and expect that they will be helped. Regularly take inventory of your life to see if you are being a faithful steward of every life God sends to you. And I like that because God sent me a life. And I have been able to minister to her, and I have been able to mentor her. And she even came to our church one time. I invited her to church, and she's having trouble with her daughter, and she went up front right her first day there. She went up front to pray, and I was like, Betty, my gosh, it took me years to get up the guts to do that. And she just went that first time. So, and then another thing I have here, it says God controls your life and knows what it can become. Rather than constantly worrying, your great challenge is to continually release every area of your life to God's control. And then I have, and in my very last section, I have a section called listening. And listening I'm really wanting to work on listening this year, because listening is tuning yourself to listen to the still small voice of God, and know that it's God. And this is a hard thing to do. I will tell you, even for a mature Christian, it's hard, because you know we're bombarded with our own thoughts. And well, gee, maybe I'm thinking that, or maybe I'm saying that. But to give you a little example, I was a member of this church for years, and when we got ready to retire, we decided to retire up in the mountains in Crestline, and we were up there 2 years, and I kept getting this little bug in my ear saying, Gail, you don't want to be a widow on this mountain. And I was, you know, what the heck is that? You know, I thought it was me. So I shoved it to the back of my head and didn't think too much about it, you know. And then it came again, Gail, you don't want to be a widow on this mountain, you know. And again, I thought it was my thoughts, you know. Well, my husband had a heart attack. Oh, I know what happened. When the house prices in Orange County started going sky high, I said to Jerry, because I really wasn't happy in the mountains. It was there was something wrong, you know. Even though God led us up there and led me to this beautiful church, and I'm friends with these people, and I still go up there sometimes. I'm on their Bible study, and they love me, and I love them. There was still something not right, you know. And so when the Orange County house prices started going through the roof, I said to Jerry, I said, you know, I think maybe we better go down the hill and get something before it gets too out of sight. So we came down to Menifee, which is what we could afford, and it's around the Temecula area. Well, a week after we opened up escrow, my husband had a heart attack, and so it was our intention to have two homes, you know, one in the mountains and one down the hill, but I could see that it was too much for him, and so we let the place in the mountains. We sold it in one day. It was incredible. This lady came to the house, and I had that book, The Purpose-Driven Life. I had it sitting on my nightstand. We didn't even have it in the MLS yet. It was just the first day. She came in the house, and she saw that. She only wanted to pay X amount of dollars. She didn't want to go over, and what we were asking was over what she wanted. But she saw that book there, and she turned to her husband, and she said, we're buying this house. And didn't counter offer, didn't anything. Gave us exactly what we wanted. My husband was absolutely floored. But you know what? I knew that it was the Lord. And I knew that those little words that I was hearing, those were the Lord's words. And it was the Lord that led us back down that mountain to Menifee. And then after we got into Menifee, it was about, let's see, Jerry had the heart attack in May. He survived. He's doing fine. But it was May. The following October, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And there would have been no way I ever could have lived up in the mountains, you know, because it's hilly up and down. And, you know, I have a little balance problem. But I look back on that, and I say to myself, you know, those little whisperings that I heard. I want more of that. I want to be able, I don't want to have to wait till hindsight and say, oh yeah, that's what the Lord did for me, you know. I want to know beforehand. So that's my very last, that's my very last section. And when I sense something, some people call it sixth sense, some people call it premonition, some people call it the Lord whispering in your ear, whatever you want to call it. I write that stuff down also, and this is kind of how I've done my prayer journal. And the other lady, like I said, she had hers divided up to every day of the week. I can't pray every day of the week, but I still go out three mornings. And last year, I asked the Lord for more time, to give me more time to pray, because I was feeling that 30 minutes wasn't enough, and He has. I mean, He just has, you know. And some mornings I'm out there, and what I do is because I'm a nature person, I cannot pray at home, and I go out in my car, and this is something that I learned to do in the mountains, because, you know, it gets cold up there. You can't be walking that little lake up there and freezing your butt off and praying at the same time, you know. So I have learned to pray in my car, and then I have a second blessing, because I get to play worship music. And when you're worshiping the Lord and you're praying for, let's say you're praying for my son David, you know, it's like that worship music, it just puts words in your mouth, you know. It helps you to pray at a deeper level, and you know, and I believe that was one of the reasons why the Lord sent us up to Crestline, is because He was wanting me to pray at a deeper level, and by gosh, I mean, I learned how to do that. And and also, I pray with my prayer journal on my lap, and you know, let's face it. When you start off praying, how many of you can pray for 5 minutes and all of a sudden your mind is, you know, you're thinking about the bills, you're thinking about, you know, and then you try to get yourself focused back in, and then you start off praying, and then your mind goes off again. There is something about a prayer journal on your lap that keeps you so focused that your mind just doesn't wander. I mean, I think it was about 3 weeks ago I went out there, and I know the Lord was in the car with me that day, because I got out there at 10 o'clock, and when I opened my eyes, it was 11:30. And I was like, wow! This is awesome, you know. I just couldn't get over that, you know. And so anyway, however you want to journal, I would just like to encourage you and to tell you that it's not, I don't believe that it's the amount of time that you put into it. I believe it's a commitment. I absolutely made a commitment that Mother's Day that I was going to do that. And no matter what, I mean, there have been times when you know, the grandkid's sick and your daughter-in-law's got to go to work, and you get the phone call, oh, please come and watch him, you know, and it happens to be your prayer day, and oh, what am I going to do, you know? Well, you know, you go and you take care of your sick grandchild, because you know what, the Lord understands, you know. Or the times when you're driving to Oklahoma with your husband in the car, you know, and you're driving cross country, and up comes your prayer time, and you can't do that, you know, that you just can't, you know. And the Lord understands all that. And it's so funny. I just went to Hawaii. As a matter of fact, I came back yesterday, and so I was with non-believer friends, and so of course I wasn't praying, you know. But when I got back on Friday, oh, the first thing I did was jump in my car, and I swear to you, I heard the Lord say, "Oh, Gail, it's so nice to have you back," and it felt so good to be back, you know. And so like I said, you know, if you want to devote 10 minutes, if you want to devote 30, if you've got time for an hour, God bless you, sister, because boy, I mean, that would be awesome, you know, however you want to do it, make the commitment. Just make the commitment. And if you're having a hard time making the commitment, ask the Lord to help you make it, you know, and he will. And, you know, what else do I want to say about this? Have I said it all? okay, I'll tell you this one last little story. It hasn't quite happened yet, but 3 weeks ago at Bible study, I went in. I'm coming up to the door, and Lisa's running out at me. Yeah, Gail, wait here. And I said, well, what's going on? And she said, well, we have these little prayer cards at Bible study, and one of the prayer cards was for Dietra's brother. And he asked the Bible study ladies to pray and ask God to sell his house in 3 weeks. And God sold his house. And I was like, wow. Now my house has been on the market 9 months. We live in Menifee, but we want to come back this way. And my house has been on the market 9 months. Oh, it's been forever, you know. Every weekend for 9 months, open house. I feel like I'm living in a model home. It's so clean, you know. And so anyway, I said, oh, I'm going to ask the Lord to sell my house in 2 weeks. So we filled out a prayer card. Well, yesterday we got an offer on our house. It's two weeks and 1 day, and right now they're doing the you know, that counter offer type thing, you know. But I have a feeling it's going to happen, because I know that the Lord wants me back in La Mirada. I want to be back in La Mirada, and that's one of my prayers. And oh, I forgot to tell you, when I have these pages in here, you know, after each one of my names, and what I do is I put the date, you know, let's use my grandson Cody, and I'll put the date that I, let's see, I don't want to tell you that one. Oh, I dated it. It was July 2006. And he had come into his mother's bedroom, and he was asking her questions about being born again. And so I wrote the little prayer in there, you know, that for his salvation, and that he would know, that he would come to know the Lord. And I have it dated July 2006. And when that gets answered, I put a big yes with a big circle around it and the date. And that way I can go back and one nice thing about a journal, now I have four kids, so there's always something going on in my family to pray for, but sometimes, you know, you can get a nice calm spell going there. Not too often, but sometimes. And what's really wonderful about the prayer journal is you can start flipping through these pages and you can start reading. And oh my gosh, look at the Lord answered that. Look at, there is a yes, there is a yes. There is a no, but you know what? Keep praying harder. And here's a yes. And you can just go through your whole journal and you can spend that time just praising the Lord and thanking God for all the prayers that he's answered. And ladies, I want to tell you, he has answered a lot of my prayers. And I personally am so, I get almost overwhelmed by it sometimes because, you know, because who am I? You know, I'm just a nobody. And he takes the time to just answer the smallest prayers. And sometimes I have prayers that don't get answered for whatever reasons. And I just say, Lord, you know, I just lay it at your feet. You know, you led me down that mountain. You whispered in my ear and you led us down that mountain. And I know that is burned in my heart that he did that. It's like I have developed, because of that incident, I have developed an even deeper trust. I used to be the world's worst worrier. I mean, worried obsessively, and I hate to fly. I'm scared to death of flying. But you know, I went to Hawaii this week, And I got on that plane, and I'm telling you, I had no fear. Absolutely no fear. All I could think of was, if this plane goes down, I'm going to get to see my Lord. I'm going to get to see him, you know. And to me, that was just almost overwhelming. And so anyway, I will lay my prayer journal down there on the floor, and you're welcome to look through it. And I would hope that you would all would start one, because it is just such a blessing. And like I said, you know, even if it's only 10 minutes, three times a week, you know, when the time comes for you to do more, it'll be there. And I guess that's it.